Monday, November 21st, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we try a new bit.
Let's do this again.
Man, we had a weekend of geek.
You could say it was a geekend.
Nah, you really can't.
Well, I'm just saying it's
because then I would have to administer a beating.
Oh, but you sure didn't do that this weekend.
I administered a couple beatings along the fronts of Tigris and Euphrates and Alhambra.
I also administered a beating in Tigris and Euphrates, and what was the other game I won? St. Petersburg.
Yeah. I also had Carcassonne.
I won a bunch of video games with the Mario Karts.
I also won a bunch of video games.
Yeah, we won a lot, and other people didn't win so much.
Yeah.
And in D&D, everyone wins.
Yeah, it was like college again. We stayed up until 4 in the morning playing a one-off Dungeons & Dragons game that we just made characters, went, and completed it all at once.
And we finished it the next day.
Yeah.
I
gotta say, I feel the college coursing through my veins again.
Yeah, if only we had, like, one more person living here, we could just constantly do that.
Yep.
Every freaking day.
So, yeah, come visit us.
Yeah.
And play some board games.
If you like geekery, and you're a geek... And you're not socially inept or smelly? Come on down.
So, I never thought I'd have to say the name again on this podcast, but Jack Thompson.
Oh my God, Jack Thompson.
Alabama revoked his right to practice law because he's an asshat.
Way to go. One more awesome judge on the awesome judge list.
Not only, what happened was he was on that case that's in Alabama. That's where the original Grand Theft Auto makes people kill case was. And... He was really spending most of the time on the case defending his own actions both in and out of the courtroom instead of trying the case itself. So he's decided to resign from the case so the case wouldn't be about him and it might have a chance of winning. The judge refused to let him resign so that the judge could write an 18-page dissertation on why Jack Thompson is a terrible person and a bad lawyer.
18 pages?
18 pages.
Is that a publicly available 18 pages?
If it is, I'm sure someone will link to it so shortly.
I'll be reading that with much humor, but hopefully there aren't too much lawyer talks in it.
But he sent a letter in response to the judge calling him various names.
Ooh.
In typical Jack Thompson style.
Yeah, because that's so mature, you know? I mean, look at Jack Thompson can't even do his job without calling people names. You know, no wonder he can't believe that someone can play a violent video game without killing anyone. You know, all you know is yourself. Dum dum dum. So apparently, I don't know how true this is, but the rumor is that on Tuesday, Microsoft is actually going to open up the Office file format for real.
Shits.
We don't know how real this is, but if they do it for sure, OpenOffice and Abby Word and everything are going to get a whole lot awesomer, and Microsoft Word isn't going to get awesomer. It's going to stay the same crap it is. Well, the thing about it that makes it great is not so much that people with Microsoft Office can send documents to people without.
But now, with my Open Office.
People who are using Microsoft Office who still have a pile of documents in Office format, you can go say, hey, bitch, use Numeric. And they'll say, wait, but my spreadsheets are all in Excel. And you can say, it's all right. We can open them, bitches.
So, the Sony DRM...
Again?
It's over now. They're being sued by everyone.
Well, the EFF, of course.
The state of Texas.
Some country. I forget what country.
I think it was Germany.
Germany, maybe? Sounds right.
The state of Florida is thinking about suing him.
I don't know why Elliot Spitzer hasn't made a move. He's a little slow on the trigger. Maybe he's busy.
Yeah, it might be.
Running for governor and all.
But the one in Texas is interesting because they have this anti-spyware, anti-malware law. And Sony would be liable at $100,000 per infraction.
They'd have to count the infractions in the state of Texas.
Yeah, and multiply that by 100,000.
How are they going to count the infractions, though?
I don't know. I guess people come forward and say, yeah, I'm infected. I could see a campaign.
Yeah, but if it was that way, it would be a very low number.
No, because I could see a campaign of geeks going around, putting this CD in every computer they can find, and then reporting them.
I think it only counts if it was done before the suit.
Nah, because they haven't recalled all the CDs yet. A lot
I thought
of
they
are,
did recall them all.
No, they recalled them. A lot of them are still in circulation.
Oh, some guy today said he tried to buy one on Amazon so he could test it out, you know, because he's a security guy.
Yep.
He wanted to test it out in some Windows box to see what it did. And he got a thing from Amazon that was like, the CD has been, like, you know, recalled or discontinued or something. And, you know, if you want a real one, do this. And such.
Even better, a lot of people have pointed out that not only is this a terrible rootkit, and not only is this pretty much the worst thing Sony could ever have done, but it can be circumvented by a magic marker or a piece of tape.
Most DRM can be circumvented
well,
that way
all
because
DRM
they add a
can.
Data track, and if you write over the data track, then the CD, any CD player will just skip right over.
Or, you know, there's one step further than that. There's that whole analog hole.
Oh, the analog hole.
If I can see it with my eyes, I can record
it. But see, that's what they're doing now. See, the problem here is all these DRMs with CDs and things is they're trying to put DRM on the medium when the devices are all wide open. But the next gen, they're coming out with these not-so-open devices, and we're going to see how well that works out because now we're going to have to crack a device and then crack a data.
Oh, that's fine, though, because all we have to do really is have the output of the... Because at some point, it comes into a format that a human can perceive.
Yeah, it's true, but, you know, we might end up having to, like, put a microphone in front of a speaker.
That's
right.
That actually works really well.
Really?
And think of it this way. So, all right, you have some loss once, and then now you have a perfect digital copy to spread forever.
Yeah, but, you know, with the it's not perfect.
It's not that bad, though.
Yeah, it's worse than what we're used to, and people will be kind of upset.
Most people wouldn't notice. You lose more from compressing an MP3 to 128 than you do by putting a microphone in front of a good speaker.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Most people would be using shit microphones in front of shit speakers that are already outputting crap because they're
or
crap.
They'd be taking the speaker wire that's going to the speaker and plugging it in.
No,
some
because
sort of...
that's what they're talking about is in the next gen of hardware, they're going to make...
I point out that at some point, no matter how encrypted it is, at some point there's a RAM DAC where it converts whatever encrypted signal into pulses.
They're
and those pulses
that,
are raw
they're
sound.
They're going to put that in the speaker.
That's fine. Then there's some sort of thing driving the cone in the speaker, right?
Yep.
You take that and you plug it into a RAM DAC.
I guess you could.
That's all you have to do. The analog hole, unless they get chips in my brain, there's nothing they can do to stop me.
I guess someone might take apart DRM speakers and like make machines that output to digital. But people aren't going to buy those. They're, you know, it'll definitely down the amount of prolificness because you won't have people just ripping all their CDs with a push of a button in one program, you know? When you make it a whole lot more difficult, people still do it. People go through the effort, but far fewer will. And I think that if they do this for real and it works, that things like, you know, iTunes and all of MP3.com will make out more. Things that have less DRM and are easier.
Well, all of MP3.com is illegal anyway.
Technically, kind of, sort of, maybe.
It's legal in other countries.
Russia. But it's in it.
Even in Russia, it's kind of dubious.
Yeah. The thing is, they don't have the songs I want either. They have every song that everyone else wants. But they don't have, like, Eurobeat or anything.
Yeah, but you know what? It's real easy to just pirate most of that.
Yeah, it is. So, they're not calling script kiddies anymore, according to this article here.
Well, what are they calling them?
They're calling them click kids.
That is not the proper term for that.
Well, you see, they're talking about this new trend that I actually haven't heard of. So I'm not, and I've only read this one article, but I think this feels like the kind of thing that's going to get bigger. It used to be that if you were a real hacker, you would write tools and use tools and go to DEF CON and break into all kinds of stuff. And you'd have a target, like a bank, and you would go for it, right?
Then you had script
then
kiddies.
Then you had script kiddies. You would just download the tools that the other guys made and use them. But usually you had to kind of know something to use the tools. You
all right, wait a minute. So I take it this is kind of a, I download a program that has two buttons. It has two buttons and a space to put an IP address.
Even worse, the crazy hackers are making websites that, and they're only letting letting all the, you know, click kiddies in. And basically all they do is visit a website and click, and it basically starts breaking stuff all over the internet.
You know what? That's great, because in my eyes, the internet is still the Wild West, and, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, what are we going to do about it? It's easy to stop a script kiddie who's, like, messing around at home. You just go find him and get him. When it's some guy clicking on a website, you don't know who clicked on it. The logs are held by the crazy hacker guy.
You know what you have to do? You can't trust the information that's going over the interweb.
That's for sure.
You just have to assume that it's this amorphous Wild West, horrible, barren wasteland with monsters and dragons about.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we're not giving the internet to other countries, because then this kind of stuff would really ruin us.
Yeah.
But we'll see how, if this trend really, you know, they start really calling them click kitties, or if it just kind of stays back.
You know, I'm not calling them that. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm an old
man. I will, but only if the trend really grows, because right now I don't see it so much. I just read one article about it.
I don't see it so much either, because say you have a script like that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a central place where all those kids are clicking, yep, and all the attacks are coming from that one place.
Yep.
It's easier to track it down.
But I think that the guys setting up the places are a lot smarter than that. Like, they have a forum, and you need to register.
All right, but why would someone smart give tools to idiots to make idiocy about?
The reason is because if I made a tool, right, and I make it, say, in this house, no one knows. I never get in trouble. But if you take the tool and use it, you get busted. They basically make things to do bad stuff, and then they get other people to do the bad stuff for them, like a mafia boss.
Why even do it? You don't gain.
Because you want to make mischief, because you're a dumbass.
Oh, they're griefers.
Well, it depends on what tool. They might try to get revenge on someone. They might have a monetary gain. You know, all kinds of things. But, you know.
Yeah. So, today is the 100th anniversary of the publication of E equals MC squared.
That's great.
Yeah. In 1905, Einstein's fourth series of papers. Their general relativity, special relativity, all that cool stuff.
And since then, still no unified theory.
It's kind of tough.
Yep.
We really still can't explain gravity so well.
Got any ideas?
You know what? My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did it all. And, yeah, that's it. It's magic.
Actually, there's a gravity satellite probe thing they sent up recently.
Yeah.
It has the most perfect spheres ever made by humans in it.
And they're trying to detect the quantum vortex around the Earth, the space-time.
Yeah, because if Einstein was right, then the Earth should be pulling on space-time a little bit, so it should have, like, these creases of, like, spiraling a little bit. And
yep,
not just
it's like,
a,
like
not
imagine,
just a pit.
Like, take your finger and put it into a bedsheet and then twist your finger and see how the sheets kind of twist around the finger.
Yeah.
The Earth is supposedly doing that to space-time around it.
And if it's not, and it's just making a like, you know, just put a bowling ball on a bedsheet and it just goes plump and makes a pit. If it does that, that means Einstein was a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
People are going to make it, if it's really that way, people are going to be like, oh my God, he was holy crap wrong, the whole thing's thrown out, but that's because they're idiots. It just means he was a little bit wrong. I'm betting on right, though.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's been 100 years, and we've still got mostly Einstein.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely bet on winning correctness.
So TiVo's making a good move.
Oh, yeah, TiVo finally doing something smart to make up for all the crap they're doing, making their service worse than Myth TV.
Yeah, I mean, if they do this right, basically, anyone who has one of these new TiVos, anything they've recorded, they can just pop down onto their iPod video.
Yep. It's pretty terrific.
And
oh, I thought PSP also.
Possibly, I didn't read that. Yep, PSP.
Yep. That's killer, because now, you know, before you would get Myth TV, right? And it was a pain in the ass. You'd have to re-encode it for your iPod video and get it on there from Linux and your whatever. But if they make TiVo just work, then freaking idiots can do this. You know, it might even kill the TV downloading business. You know, the torrents of TV, they might go away in favor of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And frankly, if I wanted to pay, if I had an iPod video or a PSP and I had TV, and I didn't mind paying for TiVo, I would go get it. But it used to be TiVo to Go sucked. TiVo to Go would, like, put your TiVo files in this proprietary format, and you can only watch them with a TiVo player, and you had to do hacks to convert it to a normal video format. Now that they're doing this, it's pretty terrific.
Yeah.
It might even hurt the iTunes TV episode sales.
Yeah, they're charging, what, $1.99 to download stuff. But yep, they don't have everything.
And now you'll have everything that you can watch.
Yeah.
Including, like, you know, you can freaking get the Super Bowl on your iPod video if you want to watch it again or something. The NFL would never do something like that. No, I mean, no major sporting whatever lets you redistribute or redo their episodes.
Yeah, they even warn you about it right away.
Yeah, remember in The Simpsons with the...
Yep.
We're illegally rebroadcasting Major League Baseball with only implied verbal consent and not...
Express written consent. So, things of the day.
Track. Are we getting bumper music or what?
Someday. See, I'm going out of town this weekend, so no.
Great.
So, yeah, got a thing of the day?
I sure do.
Oh, really?
Really. So, these four kids, one of them dressed up as Toad. Two of them were the Mario and Luigi.
It's me.
And there was a little princess, you know. And they had a question block, and they had a drum set. And they had two marimbas hidden behind two green pipes.
Uh-huh.
And a Goomba. And a star and some mushrooms, you know, and stuff. And they played every major Mario song there is on stage on the marimbas and the drums for, I guess, it looked like their high school. And the video's on Google Video, and it's circulating, and it's at least equal in quality to the Mario video game a cappella group.
That's kind of badass.
It's pretty badass. We watched it. High yeah. quality. Recommended for...
Definitely check this out.
Recommended for video game fans.
Yes. And I gotta say, it speaks a lot for the way culture is changing. Because when I was in high school, if the high school band did that, I'd be all about it. But the majority of the audience would sit there thinking, what the fuck? What is this? Some kind of video game? But nowadays, if you watch this video, the crowd is screaming as loud as any crowd could scream.
Yeah, and I mean, I could even hear they messed up once or twice, you know, and they weren't like perfect, amazing musicians, and you can tell the Mario was really good and Luigi not so good.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, everyone's screaming because of what they did. Someone else who might have done better music technically, but a song that no one cared about, would probably not get as much cheering.
Yep. It pleases me that my cultural blah blah blahs are starting to get mainstream a little bit. It's kind of cool.
We'll be dominating in 10 years, no
yeah.
doubt.
Once again, like I keep saying, someday there's going to be a president of the United States of America who played Mario Brothers.
And by then, everything will be great.
Yeah.
Or then, that you know will be the time happen? When everything starts becoming great.
Or, because right now, we're all young and we're always complaining about things. And the people who are in power are fixing the problems that they were mad about when they were kids. So we'll be fixing problems with video games and geekery, and all the kids will be yelling at us for, why aren't you fixing the problem with virtual reality, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, people keep, you know, we got big problems with people.
Things keep changing.
Yeah, make laws about virtual rape or something, you know.
You know, there actually was a case about virtual rape not too long ago.
How does that...
It was a couple of years ago. I forget what MMO it was. I'll try to dig up the
you
link.
You can't rape people in MMOs.
Well, apparently, there was on
you
some
can crouch
MMO.
Crouch on them.
And people were role-playing. And one guy started role-playing that he raped this female character. And she was so traumatized, she called the police and sued. I don't remember... I never saw the follow-up article as to whether anything came of it. I think I'm going to Google that and try to find out at some point.
It's kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
All right. What's your thing of the day?
So I discovered a whole bunch of interesting facts about Chuck Norris. Apparently, the chief export of Chuck Norris is pain.
Yep.
Chuck Norris lost his virginity before his father did.
How is that possible?
He's Chuck Norris.
All right.
And the fastest way to a man's heart is Chuck Norris's fists.
That would be the fastest way. But then why did Bruce Lee kill Chuck Norris in the Coliseum in Italy?
Because then he came back to life to save that kid from asthma and sidekicks.
God.
Yeah, I don't know who thought this site was a good idea. And when I found it, I thought, why would this be funny? It's just a thing about Chuck Norris. But when you actually start reading these things, I don't know why, but Chuck Norris just fits. And these are absolutely hilarious. I mean, there are no disabled people. There are only people who have met Chuck Norris.
The thing is that they got a Mr. T one and a Vin Diesel one. Not as funny.
No.
Now, the question is, if they had started with Mr. T, would it have been as funny?
I don't know. I don't know if this is a case of this was the first thing like this, or if this is a case of, for some reason, Chuck Norris fills this void.
I don't know, but can it be repeated for more funny? It would have to be someone who doesn't dish out pain. It would have to be someone who's different in a different way.
Yeah.
Like maybe a politician or something. There's
a whole bunch of them on this site, and I really think the people who are doing it are trying to make a new kind of internet cliche.
Well, I think they've already made it with they got one, and I don't know if it's repeatable is the thing. It's like Hot or Not, they could expand by just adding more pictures.
Yeah, but will this become another YGMND?
You can make anything else or not, you know, but this, if the famous person isn't funny, it doesn't work.
Yeah, but Chuck Norris isn't that funny. It's just he's Chuck Norris, and he does roundhouse kicks.
And he has a beard.
Yeah, yeah. And Chuck Norris actually once ate 3 72-ounce steaks in 1 hour. He spent the first 45 minutes having sex with the waitress.
Oh, yeah. Giggity. We should use the giggity wave.
So we're still having trouble with Mondays. And we had a long, crazy, geeky weekend. And we're tired.
I'm not tired.
I'm tired.
I'm great.
Eh. So we're going to try a new bit that we just came up with just now.
The bit is, well, before we had the story bits, we were going to do a little story after at the end of each podcast.
But that was kind of weak. I mean, we like telling stories, but we'd like to do it in a slightly better way than just tell a story.
In a way that's meaningful. So last week, what we tried to do how not to or how to something geek, you know? Well, if Thursday becomes, like, interview day, then what we're trying to... One other thing we're going to experiment with right now is a story of geek with a moral.
Some form of morality at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that... It's a story relating to geekery that hopefully will teach geeks to be better geeks by example.
Or in the very least, will be funny, and they'll teach you not to do what Donnie Don't did.
Don't do what Donnie Don't Diz does doesn't done.
Yeah. So when we got to RIT and we all really met at that the gaming club on campus.
Yep.
And there was this guy in the corner. His name was Dwayne. And he seemed cool. He yelled, "Hey, I'm running a third ed D&D game," and we all flocked and we all met each other. And he was the Dungeon Master, and he was great. And we played this awesome Dungeons & Dragons game for, like, 2 days.
Yeah, I didn't really tell how... He wasn't that great in retrospect, but I hadn't played D&D in, like, a couple years. So it was like, woo!
Yep. Plus, I'd never played D&D with that many people. There were seriously, like, 22 people.
There were so many
group.
People, they had to split us up into two groups. But the reason it was so big was because Third Ed was new, and everyone wanted to play it, regardless of how quality it was going to be.
Yep. And he seemed like a cool guy. We hung out with him.
He was a little weird looking, but, you know, he's okay.
I know a lot of weird looking people.
Yeah, there are definitely worse looking people.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
And he was nice. He was friendly. He seemed pretty smart.
Yep.
And,
he's in college.
Yeah. Fast forward about 2 weeks, and we learn that Dwayne smokes pot. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I don't mind people doing whatever they want to do, but Dwayne smoked too much pot.
In fact, I think Nicole brought a whole bag of it.
And he smoked
giant,
it all.
Giant, giant, giant bag of it.
Yeah.
And they smoked all of it in like a night, 2 nights?
Not long.
A very short amount of time.
So we started not purposefully distancing ourselves, more like Dwayne stopped running the game because he was stoned.
And like the other guy who was running the other half of the game disappeared.
Yeah, that's another story. He just disappeared. We never found out what happened to him.
Yeah.
So as we stopped playing the game with him, just because he was stoned all the time, we started learning from some of the older, wiser people around that Dwayne had a history of being cool and then not being cool anymore when he started smoking pot again.
In fact, the story that was told was that when he first got to RIT, he was a cool guy who knew everyone. And then when he smoked pot and started smoking pot more and more, he just became less and less cool and weird and yeah.
Yeah.
It basically ruined him.
Now... I mean, it's just a story. You've all met someone who smoked too much pot. That's not much of a story. But there was this house. It was called Petoria.
Because Pat was the owner.
This guy named Pat owned it, so it was called Pat.
Well, I don't know if he owned it. He was the primary renter.
Something like that. And they were all kind of into the pot and various other bits of herbal refreshment. Yeah. We visited them one day.
I didn't, but you did.
And we go in to play some D&D or Settlers or something. And the floor was damp. All of it.
And it was upstairs, right? It wasn't...
Yeah, it was upstairs. Like, it wasn't flooded. It was just kind of dank. Like Moe's Tavern, only danker.
The dank Mo, the dank.
I got to the point where you walk in and he's like, hey, take your shoes off. And I was like, hell no.
Tell him about the chair. Tell him about the chair.
So we go to sit at the, I guess it was a dining room table to play some Settlers. And there's a wooden chair, but it was dank to the point that it had more of the consistency of soggy cardboard. But it was definitely wood.
That's pretty frightening.
Yeah.
People lived in this. In fact, Dwayne lived in it because, well, he didn't really have any money because he spent it all on pot. So he kept moving from, like, friend's house to friend's house, whoever would let him stay there, until eventually no one would let him stay there, and he had to go back home to his mommy.
And you know what? From last I heard, he went back home to his mommy, he stopped smoking his pot, and he straightened himself up, but he lost all his geek friends, and he left RIT.
And he's all out of geek, he's all out of cool, he's just someone, we haven't heard from him, and, eh? So...
Wheel of morality, turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Either A, don't smoke pot. B, don't smoke too much pot.
C, don't drop out of school.
Yeah.
D, get a job.
Get a job. Watch Futurama.
In other words, don't be Dwayne.
Yeah. All right, that was our trial of this bit. I imagine the stories will range from actually funny to actually serious, depending on what kind of story we want to tell.
Yeah, I think we want to try to elaborate on the stories, maybe a little longer, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Maybe if they're short,
yeah,
we
want feedback on this bit. Do you want, like, serious stories, like that time our friend got killed and we had to bury the body? Or stories like, ha-ha, our stupid friend did something silly.
Yeah, we could tell all kinds of stories. We could tell general stories, like, about a place, or we can tell specific stories, like, a specific time in the place.
Yep.
Like, I could tell you all about Otakon, or I could tell you about Otakon 2002 at this panel. Something happened, and it was funny.
Yeah. So, this is an experimental bit. We don't know what we're doing. So, post in the forums. What do you think? What do you want to hear? If anything, to our friends out there who actually know us, what story should we tell?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to go with the interviews on the Thursday. I'll set up the Skype, even though it's kind of evil, it works. It might cost us a little bit of money. I think it was 0.0162 cents per minute or something
like that. Yeah, and that's only if we have to use the phone part of it. If we call someone on Skype with Skype.
Yeah, if they also have Skype, then we're all good.
I imagine no problem. I imagine we'll be interviewing somewhat geeky people at first.
Yep. And then Monday, we were just trying to find out a bit, and we're going to keep experimenting until we find one.
Yeah, for now, it looks like, unless someone has a better idea, we'll do more news on Monday, because we have the whole weekend to cover. And then we'll tell stories until we get sick of talking and play this song. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.